Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, vice president for community and government relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Hello and welcome to WGTD's Education Matters. I am your host, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, and today I'm very excited to introduce my very special guests. And who are they? Anne and Christopher Ellinger and their colleague, Kat Gilliam. And who are these folks? They are practitioners of a wonderful educational practice that I learned about last fall, which they call embodied empathy. Anne and Christopher are in Boston, and they train people in the helping professions, including teachers, group facilitators, counselors, in using embodied empathy to strengthen the power of relationships and groups. It has a vast application. For 24 years, they have run True Story Theater, using improvisational theater to build bridges of respect and understanding across differences in their community. As a couple who have been together for 44 years, they enjoy practicing embodied empathy to strengthen their own connection, as well as their connection with friends. And one of those friends and colleagues is Kat Gilliam, who's joining us from New Mexico. Hello, Kat.
Hi there. So glad to be here.
And hello, Christopher and Anne.
Hey there, Jonathan, and everybody listening.
So, thanks for welcoming us.
I'm sorry, Anne?
I said thanks for welcoming us.
Oh, wonderful. So where do we begin? Maybe I'll say just a quick word about how I met you. I was looking to start a playback theater company in a prison here in Wisconsin. And maybe we can tell folks just very quickly what playback theater is. Anne or Christopher?
Or Kat. So playback theater is a form of improvisational storytelling theater where people share what's important to them in their lives, often the challenges as well as the joys of their lives. So everybody has those, not just people in prison. And it's a way to empathetically embody other people's experience. You listen and then you put yourself in their shoes in the moment. Usually there are four actors and a musician and one person who's the MC who's interviewing people. And so that led then to the work that we're talking about today, of a very simplified version of theater for people who don't particularly want to show up doing theater. They want to just show up as really good listeners to their peers and people important to them in their lives. So talk about that.
Yes. So I spent a weekend training with these folks. Go ahead, Anne.
Well, I was just going to add on a little bit about playback theater, because as well as loving embodied empathy, we love this form of theater. And to say that it started 50 years ago in upstate New York and has spread all over the world. So there are playback theater companies in over 70 countries, but it's not that well known in the US. There are about close to 80 playback companies across the US and Canada. And so people could find out about it and go see a performance as well as learn embodied empathy for themselves.
Wonderful. So maybe the three of you could give us a little history, combined history of your relationships and your orientation to this work and how it's evolved over time. That sounds like a tall order, but
I'd be happy to start with that.
Okay.
I was leaving one career and wanting to embrace vocational stuff, avocational stuff. And I went to an Implied Improv Network conference in 2009. I put up on a piece of white paper, I'm willing to go anywhere and work with anyone, where my nonviolent communication and my playback theater would enhance the work that you do. And Christopher and Anne and another colleague, Jalet, just came over and said, we want you.
I forgot that story, Kat. That's great.
Ah.
And so we've been connected in that way for a long time. And people often ask, well, how did we even encounter playback theater? Christopher and I were running a different nonprofit, and we were running a conference, and someone said, oh, you should have a playback theater company come for the participants of your conference. And so we did, and we were just like, we just fell in love with it. We were blown away by the performance. Almost everyone in the audience was in tears. And that's kind of kicked us off, where over a number of years, we kind of faded out the profession we had been in and grew our love of theater and of communication.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was very shy as a young man when I first met Anne in her early 20s, and getting to communicate not just with words, but using our bodies and with play helped us feel connected in a deep way really quickly. And I felt that too with you, Kat, when we first met later, of just being able to communicate with our whole selves. And I think a lot of adults feel like there's this one way you're supposed to communicate, and actually, as whole beings, we bring a lot to the table when we can just naturally be playful and empathetic.
Beautiful. So, what is this practice called, embodied empathy?
Kat, you start.
One of the things that I really have loved about playback theater right from the very beginning was the way that it seemed to really highlight the universality of our stories. And as I began to study nonviolent communication, or compassionate communication as it's sometimes called, which is all about empathy, all about deep listening. It's not really about how you speak, but it's about how you listen. I realized as I started to embrace playback and learn playback that it was really hand in glove, and that it was an embodied form of empathy. And so it seems to me, and I think that maybe some of us just do this without having to train in how to do it, but as I have had the opportunity to share this online and had people from all over the world, I've had such profound responses from individuals. And I can share some of those now, or I can wait. Yeah?
We can mix them in.
Sure. So I have had several trainers, certified trainers in nonviolent communication, NVC, who, after having taken an intro or a series, have said that it profoundly changed their lives. In that, they always felt like something was missing, because, as Christopher just said, we're not just talking heads, we have bodies. And when we are in the body and we're listening with the body, and the person being listened to experiences that, it's such a deeper sense of connection. So that was one wonderful feedback, was they were so excited to take this into their training and use it to enliven their training so that their participants could experience it.
Wow, Wonderful.
that's so cool to hear, Kat. I was thinking it might help the listeners to for us to just describe, like, there's many different ways of doing embodied empathy. There's not a one prescribed way to do it. And I'll just give you one example of an exercise, which would be, for instance, if Jonathan and I were doing it together, Jonathan would just say very briefly, like, something going on for him, like sometimes he gets nervous being the host of a radio show, for instance. And so I would listen to him for a minute, and then in this particular structure, first I reflect it back without any words, just in my body with gestures and maybe with sounds, just showing it.
Nice.
And then I repeat the same sound and gesture, but add just one little phrase, like, I can do this. just have to get past the opening.
Ah,
for instance,
I can do this. Just have to get past the opening. Yes.
So it's as simple as that. And an important part, I can see your face because we're doing this interview on Zoom, and I could see you respond. So there's always three parts to embodied empathy. Mm. Someone shares something, somebody reflects it back, and then the person responds to having seen the reflection.
Mm.
And so there's a kind of complete circuit that is achieved in a very short amount of time. I think that also is what people get struck by, is like in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, people can feel close to each other and connected and share things that are pretty profound.
Mm.
Not a lot of words.
There's a lot of research that supports this. Yes, go ahead, Christopher.
Thanks. I enjoy the little dance here with the four of us, so I thank you for your graciousness and letting me go next. So just that Anne was modeling in this radio interview, also making sounds, even though you couldn't see her moving her body the way that I could, of going, like sounds are an embodiment, even though they're in sound. They just go to a very emotional place very quickly. That's an important part of communication. Mm-hmm. And then adding words can be helpful for people who are more literal to like, oh yeah, you got my actual experience. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to have both. So back to you, Jonathan.
Oh, I was just, thank you, thinking about how this resonates so strongly with things that we know or that I know or that many of us know about communication and relationships, how when people are closely affiliated, they often unconsciously mirror one another.
Mm-hmm.
So how with embodied empathy, it's just a little bit more focused and intentional. You can come the other way around, you know, build the bridge that way. And then, of course, biologically, we have these things called mirror neurons. We are resonating with one another's emotions, whether we show it or not. And so embodied empathy is kind of an encouragement, it feels like, to use that, to build from that really authentic embodied response. It's not, you've said, Anne and Christopher, I remember, this is not performance, right?
That's the difference between embodied empathy and playback theater, essentially, is that embodied empathy is not looking to perform anything. It's looking to be authentically present with someone and reflect back more fully that you've heard them, and so that they've experienced that you've heard them.
And that it's woven into daily life. It's not sort of done as a like the stage or just in a class. The point of the classes or the online intros that we offer is so that then people can bring it in to do with their family members or their students or their clients, their best friends, all colleagues. You can do it as part of a daily just check-in in the morning. So many, many different ways to use it. And that's the wish, is that it becomes just a communication tool.
And Anne, you just mentioned the online classes. So I think this might be a good moment to say, if you go to playbacknorthamerica.com, that website, again, playbacknorthamerica.com, there is a section on that website that's about embodied empathy taster drop-ins, which are online and they're free. And then if people get a taste and they really like the taste and want more, they can keep coming back for more. And different people facilitating them help people think about how can they apply them effectively in the different contexts that you're part of, whether it's a family or in school, or as Anne mentioned, some of the other ones that we've been working with.
It's actually a small class of three weekly sessions that's starting this coming Thursday, a week from tomorrow, online. So if listening to this captures your attention, check that out right away, because it may be the last time that series is offered by PMA.
This is a good place to bring in another experience that I had when I was doing a class online. It was applying. How do we apply this? How do we use this in everyday life? And I had a participant from Taiwan who decided to bring it into his intergenerational work and with the Chinese communities that he's working with. And so these elders who are not accustomed to expressing themselves, and these young people who are trying to find their way in this new world, and bringing the two of them together and using this embodied empathy. And he was just so jazzed about the success he was having, where these elder Chinese were starting to giggle and laugh and relax and have fun and really deeply connect with these younger people who were starting to see them as more interesting than they had been initially. So that was a wonderful experience, I think, that one of the participants had.
Mm. And where was this again?
He was from Taiwan, but this was an online class that I was doing, how to apply it.
Mm. Wonderful. Yeah. I've had some spontaneous experiences of this. I'm not broadly skilled in this as a set of forms or practices, but as you've all mentioned, there's something intuitive and something spontaneous about this. But the practices that you've developed take us further. I was at a conference in Long Island long ago after 9/11, and I was in a workshop, and I just encouraged people to show what they were feeling with their bodies and to work in pairs and to respond to one another by mirroring what they were sharing. And because feelings were tender and I didn't want to put anybody on the spot in terms of telling a story, we just exchanged images. And then we had a larger group conversation. And to me, that's kind of also an example of just the wide variety of ways this kind of thing can take shape. I have a question.
We were doing embodied empathy long before,
right.
Before you even heard that phrase.
Right.
Because we only described one kind of structured, I just want to let people know that on that same website, the playbacknorthamerica.com, you can download a small guidebook, embodied empathy guide, that really goes through some examples of how to use it. And it's super easy to read. What is empathy? What kinds of groups you could use it with? So encourage people to, since a lot of, I assume your educators are your audience.
Exactly.
And people love books.
Yes. And we, of course, have a wider audience, so it's good to also to have folks consider these wider applications. But yes, this is so useful, I think, in the classroom. And I've been using it with my actors in the Shakespeare Prison Project as a way to begin by checking in with each other, kind of a group. I'm not sure I remember the technical term for this. It might be a group mirror or a group flare, but where one person says a couple of sentences about how their day is, how they're feeling, and the whole group reflects it back to them. And we go around the circle and everybody joins in. It's a wonderful way to warm up the room and connect with one another before beginning the work.
I love it.
I'd like to do a little segue for a second, Jonathan, into when you shared what you had done back many years ago, and then Anne said, see, you've already been doing it. I just want to bring sort of to the point that exercises are just like any kind of exercise. It's to strengthen our muscles, so to speak. So it isn't that in any stretch of the imagination that we're expecting people in their everyday life to actually just always do it as an exercise, but it just makes you more comfortable, more at ease with learning how to not, you know, work with your whole being.
Yes. And we could all use that encouragement, I think. And I have personally benefited from it and enjoyed reading the book, Embodied Empathy, especially the second edition, which now has wonderful illustrations. Is that the one that's up?
Yes.
Oh, good. So I wanted to ask you all, given that this is something that people sometimes do, maybe often do, what motivated you to codify a set of practices and to promote it with such exuberance through your teaching and your connections, and you're relentless with this stuff, and I mean that in a good way. So what's the fire in your belly? Where does it come from?
So I mentioned earlier that I was a shy young man when I met Anne. But before that, I remember many years struggling in school because I didn't process the way it seemed like the teachers expected me to, with mostly auditory input and a little bit of visual on the chalkboard. I needed to do things and interact. And I noticed the same is true of our son, who is now a professional recreational acrobatics trainer, that he needs to use his body and be expressive, and then he can be super connective and engaged. And I think a lot has been learned about a substantial portion of the population, including the kids in school, learn in many different ways. And so embodied empathy enhances the ways that people can learn who are more physically oriented and more interactive.
Wonderful.
So it's a multimodal way to communicate. It incorporates not only visual and auditory, but physical.
I'd like to continue in this vein, but first I want to do a quick station identification. This is WGTD-FM. You are listening to Education Matters. And we're speaking with Christopher and Ann Ellinger and Kat Gilliam about embodied empathy, a wonderful set of practices for connecting and making relationships stronger. So on this topic, Kat and Ann, do you have anything to add about where your motivation comes from in teaching this stuff?
Well, I think being playful has opened a lot of doors for me in my life relationally. And so that probably is my greatest impetus in helping people to do this in an embodied way, to not just nod their heads or say, but to just really get into their bodies. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. As I nod my head. And how about you?
Such a great question. Like, why do I care?
Yeah.
And I think some of it is, and I just think we're almost all really hungry for empathy. It's the empathy part that, and being well listened to. And in terms of, like, I was thinking about, oh, education matters. Like, oh, if only in education, we were taught more about communication, about listening well and skillfully to each other. And clearly, I mean, the world and our country is in deep trouble right now, partly because we're so incapable of listening across differences of values and worldview. And so I think it feels core to me in terms of making a better world, that people learn how to practice, because part of what you have to do in empathy is not agreeing with people. People get confused by that and they think, I can't empathize if I don't agree with you. And I mean, I'm sure people have had the experience of saying things and Christopher's holding up his hand, jump in.
Well, I just wanted to give a couple of the places we brought this work to. We brought it to many different groups, but one you were t was a group called Braver Angels, which has inspired us in bringing people who are more conservative and more liberal, as well as people from different views, together to say, can we listen to each other? Can we build a country that's built on common values and concerns, which requires an extraordinary amount of listening and empathy at a time when people are really scaring each other. And we were wondering whether this kind of embodied empathy would be well received as part of that process. So it was a leadership gathering. People were there because they really cared about this work. And people who were across the political spectrum, but all responded to this as being powerful, that they said it felt like it was coming from a place of authenticity rather than performance, which was the one most wonderful feedback that I think we can get in
Now,
our
if I
work.
was a fly on the, that's fantastic. If I was a fly on the wall, just looking in on Braver Angels gathering, which is intentionally, as I understand, about 50% Republican, 50% Democrat, or 50% conservative, 50% liberal, however you slice it. And I was watching people in pairs or in groups doing some of this work, but I couldn't hear what they were saying. Could I read anything by looking into the physicality of these people? Could I read anything
I think
political or?
what you see is not the content. What you see is people building trust and rapport with each other, which is what we're aiming for.
I think there's a leaning in that happens when we do embodied empathy. There's a kindness there, and there's a built-in physicality of compassion, and it brings to mind one other very profound reaction that a participant had in a training that I was doing. He's a Vietnamese man, not in this country for very long, just a few years. Spoke with a very strong accent, not particularly easy to understand. And yet, at the end of the session, his comment was that he felt more seen and heard and held in that this hour that we'd been together than he had in 2 years of being in this country. He was in tears. And that was very profound in terms of what we're speaking about right now.
A touching story. I wanted to give another story in contrast, because it doesn't have to only be in tears. So we were working with a group of veterans that we worked with for several years, and they were embodying a little stories of each other, and we saw them smiling and relaxing and laughing and feeling like they were touched with humor. And so it can go across the emotional spectrum.
Fantastic. Yes, there's a whole movement with laughter. Speaking of intentional practices, I don't recall the name of the group, but where you stand and you do the physical act,
Right,
you
laughter yoga. Yep.
laughter yoga, and it. What does it do, man? Laughter yoga.
Well, for people who respond to laughter yoga, just the act of laughing, even if it's a little bit, or if you're faking it to start with, releases some hormones that help you feel more healthy and alive. So just
Yes.
being expressive and connective with other people,
Yeah. We
that's
don't
just
breathe
the
very
throat.
deeply. We don't breathe very deeply.
So breathing and laughing and all these things.
Yeah.
There are many practices, but the embodied empathy brings some of that in.
Yeah.
In a way.
And I've seen some of your recordings on YouTube, and that's something else that audience members can take a look at. The links are through the PNA, Playback North America website. They can find these, yes?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's part of the main menu.
Yeah.
And I believe people also, if they just put in embodied-empathy.com, that will connect you. If you can't remember the Playback one, same URL will connect you to the Playback North America.
Mm.
While we're mentioning resources, even though we don't have time, I think, to read the book, section from the book, I just wanted to say what was in the book. So there are basic skills and concepts, sample practices so people can learn a little assortment that they can try out and see which ones they like, try them out on their friends or groups they're part of, challenges that people have in saying yes and how do you entice people to try it out, the benefits that people get from doing it, some stories how we've applied it. We've given a couple, but there are more here. Applying E2 in your life with friends and family and colleagues, and in work for meeting facilitators, community leaders, teachers, theater teachers, expressive therapists, and so forth, and then further learning. So it covers a lot in a small book.
Fantastic. Oh, and I have something I'd like you to add to the book.
Okay.
It's a practice I developed with my wife. No, I actually, it might be in there already. I don't know. But it's conflict resolution through embodied empathy. And the way we sometimes do it, and it's really spontaneous, we don't plan it, is that we get into some kind of disagreement or surliness with one another. And one of us spontaneously starts this and says, "This is you," and then starts acting out how they're experiencing the other person, and then the other person joins it. Yeah, well, this was you, and gives the other half of it, and then we might start playing ourselves as well. The overall effect is laughter and a sense of self-irony. We're laughing at ourselves. We're laughing at the situation. We're not mocking each other.
I want you to videotape it so we can add it to our online collection.
And I think part of what makes it work also, Jonathan, and when you're saying that it's not mocking each other, because if you just spontaneously do it, people can feel like you're mocking them.
That's right.
Have a little conversation first about what your intention is in creating a little structure like this of embodiment so that you're saying, yes, let's give this a try.
Yes. There's a Native American Apache metaphor for friendships as a deer hide. And if the relationship has lasted long and is strong, you can pull at it like a tanned deer hide, and it will take a lot of pulling and tugging without ripping. But if this is not a relationship that has been tested or has been lasted very long, then it could more easily tear. So in the case of my wife and I think we just had a good foundation for being able to move into that. But yes, for most, maybe all public contexts, you definitely want to be clear about what's happening and what the ground rules are.
But it's a great example of how embodied empathy is just an idea that we want people to take and run with. It's not like, it's not codified. There isn't a training program that then you get certified. It's just saying, these are a few examples of how to do it. Go play. Go be there. That just has certain basic elements that we were saying about the listening, the embodiment, the reflection back, and I think the kindness that's there, that it's that it's focused on empathy and not on the problem solving or critiquing.
Yes. In our experiences, most people who believe in good communication feel like this is intuitive, and they pick up some little gems of new ideas that can stimulate them to try some new things.
Mm, yes, that's been my experience. So, Anne, I know you're a singer. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I just did. And you don't have to take this invitation. But I was, you know, one of the modalities of embodied empathy it does involve song, and I've seen you do it. And I was wondering if one of us could share a couple of sentences with you about a real experience, something that's up for them, and you could show how that could be responded to in song.
Sure.
Great.
I could share something in two sentences. It often helps to be brief. So this is something Anne knows well, because she's part of it too, is we've been struggling with not sleeping well through the night, many nights. So I guess the first part of this is just about how frustrating it is to wake up at 3 a.m. and not go back to sleep after an hour or two. And then the last couple nights, we've been feeling blessedly relieved and victorious to actually have some good sleep. But still a little nervous about tonight.
I'm sorry about the motorcycle. I don't know if you heard it. Anyway.
Didn't hear it. Oh, not again, not again, not again, not again, not again. Oh, 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4:30. Darn. Maybe tonight will be different. I'm cozy and happy. Let's sleep. Let's sleep.
Thank you.
I wanted you to keep going. I would have drifted off.
And I guess it doesn't have to be, but in general, how we do embodied empathy, it's very brief. Mm-hmm. That is part of its...
makes it easier for people to do.
Exactly. Makes it easier for people to do, or if you want to try the, which is very nervy to like insert it into a work environment, you know, where every minute counts.
Oh.
Like you can say, well, this will only add 3 minutes to the agenda or whatever. Like it can be very brief and then people still feel fed.
Oh, that's good. But yeah, that's
glad you like my song.
Yeah, loved it.
But just to check back with me since I was the person.
Oh, right.
Sure. Very.
I would say I felt very satisfied with the two parts you did, and I felt like you missed the middle part, which was about having two nights where I did feel relieved and victorious. So the last part was, I said there were going to be two, but I snuck in a third part.
Oh. So a little victory.
Victory
refrain.
I'd say that was... that's an important modeling that the person who reflected that it's fine to just say like how that was for them. And often people, they'll have an insight partly because out of the person not quite getting it right. And then, so you can still be really of use to somebody, even if you sort of miss a main point. So Christopher, thank you for the feedback and for speaking up to say we hadn't done that. Kat.
In a very interesting way, what happens when you reflect back in this way, or really in any way, but we're working with this now, is that it helps people turn inward. And like Anne just said, check in. And that's where you can go, oh, okay, that's what's going on for me that you didn't actually know before, even if the empathy that you got wasn't perfect. So we can all let go of feeling like we need to get it perfect. We can relax with it. And the brevity of it is really wonderful. And Jonathan, that example you gave that you've been doing with your wife, my husband and I sometimes will just growl at each other, just loud when we're into a little snafu. One person will start it and then the other one will pick it up and we'll just growl and then it's over and we're laughing and we don't even have to process what was happening. So that's how quickly and profoundly this can shift things.
Cool.
Sometimes not processing it is just the smoother, easier way to go. Just feel like you want to be connected to each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully, you know, we've helped a couple of marriages at least during this time. I am such a wise guy. I hope I'm forgiven for that. But I meant it.
When you were saying kind of what's the motivation for being interested in embodied empathy, and I was saying, well, really the interest is, that's a subset of the bigger interest about communication and how do people connect. So we also have a book that's called Getting Along, Skills for Lifelong Love, which has lots of things that aren't just embodied, but all kinds of things we've learned over 40 years together. So,
Wonderful. Thank you for mentioning that. So how do we create more spaces for embodied empathy? That's been a theme in our conversation that, you know, I think of everybody rushing around, even people who know each other and are close to each other, right? We dash by each other. We give the perfunctory hello, goodbye, and out on the street, forget about it. You know, we don't even see people that we're passing. So how do we create more spaces for embodied empathy?
So one way for any group of people that care about each other, whether it's a couple or a classroom or a group that meets regularly, is that they're often having a time for people to check in briefly on how are you doing. And if you make it very brief, like just two sentences of something that's up for you, and then having a partner there embody it for you empathetically so you feel heard, it can be very simple but profound.
Adding juice to the check-in, giving it a much greater depth in a way, in a very economical way. You know, that makes sense. So what is it that we haven't covered yet that you want to make sure that we address before I let you go?
Well, I would ask everybody who's listening, where do you want more empathy in your life? Who are you close to who needs more empathy? And might any of these tools be of service to you in those relationships?
Thank you for that. A final word from Kat or Anne?
I am satisfied. Thank you, Jonathan, very much for your interest and care.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Kat.
Appreciate being able to join in. Thank you. Yeah,
wonderful. Thank you, Christopher. This has been a conversation with Christopher and Anne Ellinger and Kat Gilliam on embodied empathy. You're listening to WGTD Radio.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org.
I'm Steve Brown, inviting you to listen this coming Saturday morning at 11:15 for the WGTD Radio Theater's rebroadcast of Sorry, Wrong Number and Three Skeleton Key. Our stars are from the 91.1 Players. As always, support comes from the Brown Ostrup Performing Arts Foundation. This coming Saturday morning at 11:15, Sorry Wrong Number and Three Skeleton Key, right here on WGTD HD.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, UW Parkside's Adventures in Lifelong Learning offers classes to members on the UW Parkside campus, such as a presentation on history and archaeology of Fort Blue Mound, 1 p.m. on May 15th. Visit uwp.edu to learn more. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Kenosha County is launching an Adopt a Highway program similar to what's been in place at the state level. individuals and groups can sign up to adopt 2-mile-long sections of county highway on the county's website.